Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and a seasonal greeting to you in these early days of the new year. These programs are recorded in the middle of the week before the Sunday they are broadcast, and so it sometimes happens that from time to time they are overtaken by events. And so it was that last week I spoke about being in a voluntary lockdown and a choice of isolation to protect ourselves and our communities. This was obviously overtaken by the regulations which, among other things, have now closed places of worship. So it's a welcome to you if you're joining us in place of your regular gathering for worship. Welcome to you as well if you're tuned to us, because these times that we are living through are pushing you to ask questions about who we are, where we've come from, and where we are going. May we all hear a word of grace for our living. My name is Nigel Parker, the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. Our building, of course, is closed for public worship, but each Sunday at 10:30 a.m, that's in just about 2 hours' time, we live stream an act of worship with readings and hymns and prayers and preaching. You can find us on our YouTube channel if you search for St. Andrew's and Lennoxville. You'll also find recent recordings of Christmas services. A reading from the prophet Isaiah to begin with. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honoured, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men and women for you, and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have formed him.
Cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. Shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I. Thank you.
the sea you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you through it all. Be not afraid, I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest. Blessed are the poor, for the kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are you that weep and mourn, for one day you shall laugh. And if wicked men insult and hate you, all because of me, blessed, blessed are you. I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Do not be afraid, says the prophet Isaiah. Yet how can we still the fears? Do not be afraid, cites the scriptures. Yet how shall we calm our lurking fears? Lord, we gather surrounded by a virus we cannot see, an organism we cannot visualize, yet which steals away health, a sense of well-being, threatens our lifestyle and our livelihoods, and at its worst can steal away our lives and the lives of those whom we love. And yet your word to us would be, do not be afraid. Lord, it is a comfort to our hearts to know that Jesus looked on cowering, fearful disciples and said to them, do not be afraid, let not your hearts be troubled. And we would sit beside them this day, by faith and in imagination, we would be in the company of Jesus and hear a word of grace that would still our hearts and ease our restlessness. Lord, you're the creator of the sun and the moon and the stars. You stir in our midst to reveal your light. By the work of your Spirit, you lead us in new directions. Your beloved Son has called us to new life, and by his grace reconciles divisions amongst us. Holy One, we praise you for the blessings you give us in our baptism into Jesus Christ, and through your love that surrounds us day by day. And so we give you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all praise and glory and honour. God of Spirit and fire, baptized, we have not done a good job as your people. We're drawn to the shadows of sin, hoping that you'll not see our foolishness. We fall into the arms of temptation, letting it spin us until we're out of control. We selfishly cling to your hope and grace, convinced that others will misuse these gifts. Forgive us. Touch us with your Spirit, that we may be restored to life. This is the good news for us. We expect God to stay angry, but are handed the dove of peace. We expect God to shout at us, but we are called by a new name. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. Amen. It was just about 2 years ago that my father, who had lived to the age of 91, passed away. Among the items that I cleared out from his sheltered house was his father's, that's my grandfather's, baptismal certificate dating from 1895. I didn't know my paternal grandfather. He died when I was only 2 years old, and I have no memory of him. I certainly have a black and white photograph which shows that he had the same distinctive hairstyle as I do, which means no hair at all to speak of. Yet finding his baptismal certificate gave a sense of connection. Christians find that in being baptized, we're joined to one another in the life of the church and the life of God in a way that endures across the generations. In our Reformed faith, we say that baptism's a sign of the covenant, a binding agreement in God that goes from generation to generation, including children. In some way and in some mystery, the faith into which my grandfather was baptized has come to me. And whatever the Lord has done with me is in some way connected with the faith that Grandfather Charlie Parker held. In a moment, we'll look at Jesus' baptism and our connection to it. But first, a hymn.
I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace
I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need
Savior, I come to thee.
Now, as the people were in expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, that's John the Baptist, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. You will have a family photo album at home, or at least a collection of photos on a hard drive or on the iCloud. They serve to tell the story of our lives and the events that have been happening and how they have shaped us. We've been following the Christmas stories over recent weeks. We've learned about shepherds and sages, kings and cherubim, fertile virgins and infertile pensioners having babies. Each little snapshot, each one a movie, has been telling us about Jesus. He's a saviour to the shepherds, a king to the three kings, a table turner to Mary and a promise keeper to Elizabeth, and God with us to Joseph. All these snapshots building up a picture of who Jesus was and is for us. We come today to a little story of his baptism by John in the Jordan River. What does it say about him? It says that he is with us in our need of God. Baptism, as taught by John, was a sign of repentance or turning to God in our need of God, a cry for mercy and grace, a plea for acceptance when there was nothing that could be brought. Jesus, in becoming human, identified himself with our need of God. He identified himself with humanity, its struggles with temptations, and though he himself was sinless, he understood thoroughly our human condition. He immersed himself in our need of God in his baptism, so that when we need God and we don't know where to go, we don't know what to say, we don't know how to apologize, Jesus' baptism shows that he's done it for us. Jesus' baptism is the perfect turning to God, the perfect repentance, the perfect act of humility. Jesus' baptism in water is a sign of his baptism into the human race's need of God. Here is the flip side, and why this is important this morning, especially for you church folks who've been baptized in the life of the church. Just as Jesus' baptism immerses Jesus into our human need of God, so our baptism, our sprinkling, our pouring, our being immersed in water, drenches us with the experience of Jesus in his relationship with God. I said that my grandfather's baptism was so somehow linked to my faith and experience. Ultimately, through our baptism, we're linked to the baptism of Jesus, to the experience of God the Father that Jesus had in his baptism. In his baptism, Jesus immerses himself in our need of God, and in our baptism, we are immersed in Jesus' relationship with God. When we come in baptism in Christ through Christ, we hear a voice saying to us, "You are my beloved child." Isn't that good to hear when all around voices are telling us, "You've been abandoned, you've been let go, this virus is in control." Now you may sit there and think, well, that means nothing to me. I was baptized because that's what my family wanted. A going through the motions, a religious habit, a family tradition, a cultural practice. I don't feel beloved of God. Well, that's a big topic. But for today, let me leave you with this. Have you only been half baptized? You may have been baptized in water, but have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Has the love of God been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit? Has your water baptism been completed by your spirit baptism? Maybe this Christmas you received a gift card from an online retailer. You go to redeem it online, but it asks you for an activation code. The piece of plastic you received with all the numbers on means nothing unless you have the activation code. In a very crude picture and analogy, it is the Holy Spirit who is the activation code for your baptism of water. Without the Holy Spirit, all the promises of baptism are left empty without the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we're baptized, as it were, by fire, as John would say. And it's the Spirit that makes us cry out to God in the most tender and affectionate of family terms. Are you fearful this new year? Are you, in the words of our politicians, apprehensive? Then if you're baptized in Jesus, there is a voice that says to you, "You are my beloved child." Apparently, Martin Luther, the 16th century figure of the Reformation, used to take comfort from these words. When it seemed to him that the whole church had left the precepts of the gospel, when he was under scrutiny from church officials as to the truth of his beliefs, when his life was under threat and he suffered self-doubt, he would boldly claim, "I am baptized." But those words belong not only to the Martin Luthers of this world, but to each and every baptized person, to each of us who've had water poured over us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who've received the Holy Spirit. Let these words sink in this morning. I am baptized.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned His face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man of my sins upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my wrath. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, Lord, for in our union with Christ you baptize us in grace and declare us to be the children who please you. When your voice first thundered over the waters, you created the earth and all who live in it. You called the people by name to be your own, and you led them by fire through the waters to the promised land. But you sent your Son Jesus amongst us. Baptized by your servant John, he embodied your love and fulfilled your desire to redeem your children from all the earth. He was baptized again in the fearful waters of death. He tore open the heavens so that all might be baptized with your Holy Spirit and pass safely through water and fire into the glory you have prepared for those with whom you are well pleased. We pray today for all who are bearing heavy burdens, those facing difficulties and problems to which they can see no solutions, wrestling with inner fears and racked by anxiety for themselves or loved ones, troubled about money and health and work or relationships, all who crave rest for their souls but cannot find it. We pray for the influence of your Holy Spirit in the troubled places of the world. Fill us with your passion for justice that we may strive to build bridges of reconciliation. We pray for all who are happy and for whom things are going well, that they may know the source of their blessing. We pray for all who are distressed. Comfort the sad, be present with the sick, and make your will known to them. Strengthen those who are depressed by failure. And we bring to you our own prayers. For ourselves, for our loved ones, for the folks in our families of faith and the congregations perhaps with which we are associated, from whom we are distanced in this time. Encourage all whom we remember before you now. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.